And for a very special treat this week with Catherine Herland. Sorry, my video is not centered. I'm back in the stage right side headquarters, which is my dressing room at the Met Opera. And we're back. It's Met season. We have six weeks here and then a week in Orange County. So we have quite a few more weeks of this tour. And this season, I really want to invite people into the dressing room and give you that whole experience where you hear the half an hour calls over the loudspeaker, whatever, the PA system, and it's a really unique experience. I'm going to turn the camera around to show you Catherine and Aaron Bell, who are here in the dressing room with me, and they say hello. I don't know if you can hear them, but in this very special episode, I'm going to tell you about life before Swan Lake performance and after. So Catherine and I are going to tell you what it feels like to be nervous and depressed before a performance. And then we'll tell you how relieved we are afterwards. So enjoy, stick around, and here we go on the stage right side. You and I are dancing Swan Lake on Friday, which is tomorrow night at the Metropolitan Opera House. This is my first episode back in my dressing room at the Met Opera. And as you can see, it is homey. I just finished a tech run through of Wolfworks, which we're doing on Tuesday. So just for context, so right now we're rehearsing everything we do in the season. So I did a run of Wolfworks. I ran first act and third act, which are my character does those acts. And then now I'm about to have Swan Lake rehearsal. And yesterday, I don't know what your schedule was like, but I had two rehearsals for Giselle with two different partners. We ran Black Swan on stage, and I ran Act One. I had Wolfworks.
You did both, right? You did Giselle both first.
Yes.
And second.
Yes. So it was a really hard day, and today I'm feeling it a little bit. So what do you think you want to do in our rehearsal today for Swan Lake?
Well, definitely. We did Black, so
yeah,
I was thinking
we can do White.
White.
Yeah.
I don't know if we haven't touched Fourth in a really long
time. Oh, we
time.
Can do Fourth Act. Yeah.
I still want to do, I probably want to do my variation.
Your solo? Yeah. Great. Yeah, and I can poodle around in the back, do some of my first act stuff. So a lot of what we do now is we have to talk to one another and say, you know, what do you need? Because we're not just like blindly rehearsing the whole ballet. Our show is tomorrow. We don't want to fatigue ourselves.
Right.
I'm already so tired just from running all these ballets.
I bet.
So yeah, that's just where we're at. How are you feeling about the show tomorrow?
Fine. I mean, we've done it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're prepared. There's obviously
this is our
like,
third year doing it together.
Yeah.
Okay. And you debuted with me, right?
No, I debuted with
Juge?
With okay. Juan, and then it was with you the next year, and then
me again.
You again, but then your knee. Went out
oh
one
yes
show
in
DC
yes so
and I did another show with Juge randomly
okay
and now we're back
okay cool
yeah
all right here we are do you get nervous for shows and
definitely.
And do feel free to speak up a little bit on the stage right side
hi yes I actually do get quite nervous
yeah.
Like I'm already starting to feel the nerves like today well I think it has to do more because unlike you, I have had nothing the past 2 days. Like
yeah.
My first rehearsal today is our rehearsal at 5:15.
Why are you not rehearsing anything else?
I don't know.
So fascinating.
I don't know. I mean, because none of the second act people for Wolfworked
have anything today.
Have anything
I mean, there's a couple
do.
People called, but it's during our rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Yeah, there's something, it's really hard to find a balance, everybody out there in the world, between doing too much and doing too little.
Yeah.
Because you can start to get in your head if you feel like you're sitting on your hands and you're like, fuck, I didn't get tired today.
I know.
I didn't get my heart rate up. Like, I'm going to die.
I've just been so antsy all day today. Like, okay, I like was here.
Yeah.
But like not
just
doing
waiting.
Any, just wait. I'm not really doing anything.
How do you
but...
feel before shows, like in the day of the show?
Like I'm gonna either vomit, poop myself, cry, or pass out all at the same time.
I feel. I don't know. I was talking about this today, how our job, it feels so like frilly and unnecessary,
but it like,
but it is
really
so hard. It is so hard. I'm like, I don't think people quite understand what we're going through at all.
Especially
times.
Because we have to put a smile on our face the whole time.
And be people, attractive and beautiful.
And be attractive. And, you know, everybody asks like, oh, do you love what you do? Mm-hmm. And of course we love what we do. I mean, but it's so hard that of course we're going to be like, oh my God, I want to do it today. Oh my God, I'm dreading doing this right now. I don't want to be, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
and it's not even like I'm scared per se. It's more just like, we've invested our whole lives in this and we care so much. It's hard to remember that it doesn't actually matter in the grand scheme of the world.
Right.
And while we can provide a lot of comfort and safety and beauty to people and hopefully, you know, relational experience, it is just so hard to get on the horse some days.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we just make ourselves. It's like, I think our mental fortitude is off the freaking charts.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something in us as dancers that I feel like we have something in our brains that are like dedicated to this craft.
Yeah.
And you have to be in order to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just an interesting thing to think about. Like, yeah, this is true. I mean, like our job in society, really, I mean, yes, giving joy, like creating joy for other people is a good thing, but I don't know, we don't really have very much say or, I don't know, like in the world, like we don't really do.
No. It's like we matter, but we don't. It's really difficult. I think art and culture are the things that make people keep going. Otherwise everyone would just want to die all the time. And I think providing that sort of like elevated art experience for people to give them an event to sort of live through is really, really amazing and really beautiful. And giving people a community, an art community, if you will, is really amazing. But then I remember that, you know, like I'm not fighting for my life somewhere, you know, I'm like putting on tights and doing twirls.
Right.
And, like,
I'm flapping my arms for my job.
I pretend to be a bird. It's hard to have that duality in your head where you're just like, you just care so much. You know?
Yeah.
And so much of yourself, like at least so much of my self-worth relies on my ability to feel like I did a good job.
Definitely.
Or like doing my best at all times, which is probably not good enough for a lot of people, but that's okay too. Accepting that as part of the gig as well.
Accepting, yeah. Definitely. I've been recently thinking about, like, you know, the history of ballet, the history of this building that we're in right now, the history of the company that we're in right now, and how what a privilege it is that we get to experience and be a part of that kind of history. We are one of the very few people in the world that get these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard about this couple that got married on stage at the Coke.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, we as dancers are probably like, why would you want to get married on stage?
Yeah.
But it's like people's dreams.
Yeah.
It's like people, like,
they
it's an
like
experience.
Very, very rich people. Call me.
I mean, it's an experience to them, you know, where it's like our everyday life.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting thing that we get to experience this like history rich, this rich history of a job. But at the same time, and that's why we care so much, but like, because, you know, of all of, we want to live up to.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I feel like people get so confused by the way we present ourselves on the internet and just like the sort of fun, loving, happy-go-lucky artists that we can be at times. But don't get it twisted. We're mentally ill and we're obsessed. And we care so much, and we're depressed.
The amount of videos of swans that I've been watching recently, because our show is tomorrow.
I struggle with that sometimes. I struggle with watching, like, close to performance, watching other people, because, like, if I start assimilating other styles, then I will be self-conscious and, like, viewing myself from the outside, as opposed to just, like, bringing whatever I am to the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, even filming myself, like, we have iPhones, we can film ourselves when we do rehearsal. And we do that a lot. It's a really amazing tool. We have coaches, of course, as well. But then, you know, we are our harshest critics.
Well, I also think that sometimes a coach will be explaining things to you and you're like, I am so not understanding what you're saying. And then you can go back to the video and see what they're seeing. And you're like, oh, okay.
It's really helpful. But then, you know, the closer I get to performance, I'm like, okay, I gotta let go and let God or whatever and just trust myself.
I know.
So you, this is your fourth year doing Swan, right?
Yes.
So tell me about your experience, say this year working on it as opposed to like when you first started doing it.
So my first year working on it, I didn't really have that much time to like put it together actually. We were putting together Don Q, we were doing a lot of that. I was really invested in that. And then there was, you know, also I had to get Swan Lake in, but it was kind of the back burner, especially because the entire company has, we do it every year, so
well,
it wasn't
also,
really
Swan
on everybody's.
Swan usually ends up later in the season.
It
this
also,
is the first
yeah.
time doing it in the first week of the season, so
I mean,
this
I
is really rare.
I also still feel like, as a company, like, they don't really rehearse the Swan, like, the full call Swans as much, because we do it every year, it's kind of just get back on the bicycle kind of thing. So the first year it was kind of difficult because it was really just, you know, me and Juwan in the studio by myself, you know what I mean? Like it, there wasn't a whole lot of, like I only got third act tech rehearsal and then my, you know, the show was basically the first time stepping out on stage for second act. So that was, and I kind of accepted the fact that I was like, okay, this one is going to be a rough draft. And it wasn't until actually last year that I actually felt like I had a lot of time to like really dig deep.
Yeah,
I had been like 5 weeks of rehearsal or something like that. And I was like, I'm going to start even earlier before that and really like
find a version.
Find a version, dig deep into the shapes and the, you know, the characters and everything like that. And of course, like it. There's so much opportunity for different interpretations of the role that, you know, I'm still this year, probably next year, probably year after that, gonna find things that either just make sense or just because like I want something different or.
So what year principal are you now? Five, four?
I was 2022, I think it was.
Okay, so 3 years now. So.
Yeah.
You are, you know, after the first couple of years as a principal, I feel like the way, at least for me, the way you're existing in the company changes because you're no longer essentially like the hot new ticket. Like you're not saying you're not that. You're always going to be the hottest ticket in town. However, you know, your relationship to the work changes because you move from trying to prove that you are principal material to trying to move that you I'm not speaking well. Then you're trying to prove that you belong to be there.
Yeah.
And that you are a legacy artist at this rank, making your mark on the repertoire.
Yeah, it's almost like the first year they're like, oh, good, you made it through. And then the second year, they, like, have expectations.
Yes, this is very real. So how do you deal with that? How do you deal with, you know, your own feelings of, like, evolution in the rank of principal dancer and with roles like Swan Lake, with the Swan Queen, if you will?
Well, I mean, as we said, we do it every year. So it's kind of like if people are like, oh, you know, like, oh, are you going to do, like, how are you doing with Swan Lake this year? And, you know, if it's not a good year, it's not a good year, but that's okay because there's always next year.
Yeah.
Like, we're always going to, I mean, God forbid, I'll think.
I know,
knock on wood, you know.
On Formica.
Knock on wood. But there's always, you know, going to be more Swan Lakes. There's always going to be more performances and we'll be able to, like,
build
on top of that. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never really thought about it like that. Because every day feels like the most important day for some reason to me. But
I mean, it is a stressful kind of job, especially because we are so hard on ourselves, but also we have somebody in the front of the room who's literally their job is to judge us. And literally their job is to critique us. And that's always something that, I mean, that's what we've lived with.
Yeah. That doesn't bother me.
But it's that kind of thing where it's like this, it's important to like prove, like the proving that you're meant to be here. The proving.
Yeah. Or the desire is to feel like embraced by the community at large. And then sometimes it's hard to feel that just through various circumstances, whether it be like your casting or, you know, if there are other people like up and coming who are like getting everything, it's hard to
and
watch.
All the attention, yeah.
And then like critics, like journalism can be really difficult sometimes when you're, you've dedicated like your literal physical safety and emotional stability to something.
Yeah.
So there are elements where you're just like clawing desperately to like acceptance. You know, sometimes you just want some applause too. You know, want some accolades. Sorry about it, but that's the tea.
No, there's definitely some days where I'm totally like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
What am I doing with my life, like I'm flapping my arms for my job,
but and then performances come around and you're like, so, I love it.
Yeah, I know. Well, then we do it, and then you get the applause, and
the applause does help.
It does, yes. But also just that, like at the end of it, like fucking did it.
Yeah.
Sorry, my language.
No. This language is not. This podcast isn't for children. They would find it really boring.
But it's just like, you know, we fucking did that. Mm-hmm. We're part of the club that did that. That gets to do that.
That is very, very cool.
But you don't really feel that until the end of the performance. Yeah. All the way up, like leading up to it, it's just like, oh, I'm shit. Oh, I'm so bad. Depressed. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't. Yeah.
I have like extreme, like I'm emotionally unstable.
Same. You know? Yeah. No, all day today. Yeah. For tomorrow.
Yeah. But I really, I don't know, look forward is the wrong phrase, but I anticipate the performance and I know that both of us will give everything we have to make it the best we can. And we've been working our asses off.
We have, yeah.
So I'm proud of that.
Yes.
And I'm proud of whatever we do, whatever happens.
And I'm proud that your knees are okay. Right
Thank
now.
You. Yeah. I'm doing my best
that
at all times.
Our bodies are okay right
They're
now.
They're working, yeah.
They're working.
Can I talk about your ankle a little bit?
Yeah, yeah.
So Catherine's been really working through an ankle issue, like a joint and tendon situation in your left ankle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Left ankle, correct.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been very inspiring to watch her sort of take every day like as its own thing and assess where she's at physically and mentally and push through when it's wise and scale back when it's not. Do you want to just talk about that experience?
That's definitely been a challenge. I feel like, you know, the past, both my feet kind of are problematic. I've got tendonitis in one on the right foot. Mm-hmm. And then I've got an extra bone / like jammed ankle all the time, every day situation. It's not really, I don't really understand what it is quite yet. On the left foot. So then I've been trying, you know, it's hard when you have such a ballet like Swan Lake that you just want to rehearse and like, you know, practice and do that stuff
because
every day.
You need it.
Because you need it. Yeah.
Technique aside, just for like the physical stamina of it, it's a hurdle.
But this year has definitely taught me, I guess, to like, no, it's okay.
Respect your body.
You don't need to blow it out right now. Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a fart. I'm sorry. I just wanted to keep it real on this fine Thursday.
What was that saying?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't need to blow it out. Like, today. Like, we've done this show. We've done it how many times?
Yeah.
It's going to be fine.
It annoys me that I've done this show for, I think this is my 13th year. I missed a year when I did had my knee injury, but and I still care and I'm nervous. It's
I mean, that's
so
good.
flippin' annoying. It's good, but it also makes me feel like,
Nerves are good, like the adrenaline.
yeah,
It's good.
it would be so interesting to be, say, on Broadway, where
You do the show.
you do the show 8 times a week and it's almost like you can't care anymore. Even though they're hitting the beats. I took an acting class like on the last break. It was very fun. It was for like TV and film. Not saying I want to do that at all. I was just curious and I have no delusions of grandeur when it comes to like being in film or television. But the teacher had us watch all these interviews from very famous actors, and they all had a sort of common theme about the way you feel versus the way you are being paid to make the audience feel. So, and that reminds me of certain performances where I have felt a great deal and been highly emotional, and you know, the person coaching me or you know, my boss or whomever would say, you know, like, you know, it wasn't your best, or like you went overboard on this or whatever. And it just reminded me that we have emotional beats to hit. And as long as we are physicalizing the story and the emotions therein, we don't actually have to feel them at all. And it's not about us having feelings, it's about giving the audience the feels. And I find that really interesting. So like tomorrow night, there might be moments in which I don't feel anything.
Because you just like, I know what to do. I know what
Yes,
to, I know the heart strings to pull.
I
I
know the
know.
shape to make to get the audience to feel something. That being said, we perform this so infrequently, we do it once a year, that I always inevitably end up feeling quite a lot. But, you know, for a ballet like Giselle or something where there's a lot more like heightened drama, actually, I do find myself feeling quite a lot, but I don't know. I don't really know what I'm saying other than sometimes I feel something and maybe it's bad and it looks terrible because I look like a blubbering whale. And then sometimes I feel nothing and I hit all the shapes and the beats and the music
And
does
the
the
audience
work
is crying.
and they're weeping boots, my love. It's very fascinating.
It is true. I think especially because like our art form, we don't talk. We just kind of make shapes. And if we make the shapes, people are like, wow,
They
that was
love
great.
the hugs, they love the forgiveness.
I mean, that said, there are still some ballets. There are still some ballets that I feel like I really enjoy, and I think that the audience can really see us feeling those feelings, and that's what makes them cry. Like then that's
Yeah,
pulls
it
the heart.
can be
Like,
additive as opposed to like removing people from the story. Sometimes if I see somebody like going too ham,
then
it
it's like,
removes
yeah,
me
that's true too.
from the space of being of believability.
That's true too. It
And
becomes unrelatable. It becomes kind of like, oh my
I'm
God.
like, oh, it like bumps me out of the story. And I'm like, crazy person, chill.
Yeah, totally. I totally know what you
Yeah.
mean with it.
I don't know. It's all very, everything is a tightrope. But thankfully, we have good balance. I have like weird hairspray hair right now because I just did the tech. I have to shave. I hate shaving. It's hard out here.
Sorry.
Period.
Sorry.
That's okay. Okay, wait, what else did I want to ask you? Oh, there's so many things. So, oh yeah, this might feel kind of like sensitive, but and tell me, you don't have to answer anything you don't want to. But you know, I've been here a long time. I've been doing this job a long time, and I've watched sort of like micro generations happen within companies. And I feel like there's always like the next big thing. Like whether it's tends to be a woman because ballet is so socially female to me, with the exception of like Nureyev and Baryshnikov.
Right,
I feel like in the
mostly.
general community, the women are really like regarded. So
Well, I mean, in terms of ballet, historically, woman is in the front of the man.
yes,
So you see the
I
woman
want
more
you to
than you
partner
do.
me.
I want to do so many of the guys' parts. For some reason, I'm like, I want to do Mouse Gang. I want to do the, I want to do Von Rothbart, the Green Monster. I want to do that so bad. I don't know why, but I really do. I think it'd really be fun.
It'd be fun.
Evil, being playing evil is really fun.
It is really fun, and I get cast as an evil person a lot. The gays love to get cast as evil. It's Jafar syndrome.
You can give that sass, and they're just like, it works.
Straight people are like, for all of you just listening and not watching on YouTube, I just did like a very sort of stoic, bored face for the straight people. And the gays really give like,
they're like,
sassy queen. It's great. How do you deal with
the new?
Like the new, yeah. Because, I mean, you know, honestly, not to throw Bella under the bus, but like, you know, Bella and I talk about everything. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, Bella was like exploded onto the New York dance scene. And she has remained a staple and a fixture and a celebrated artist. And she's fought for that. Mm-hmm. And how do you feel at this moment, having been a principal for a couple of years and seeing micro generations happen?
Yeah. Honestly, for me, I'm kind of like, let's go. Mm-hmm. I want to see all the new people come in. I'm never really, I mean, I guess this is bad, but I always feel like when I have one ballet, I've got it under my belt, I'm kind of like, okay, what's next? Mm-hmm. I don't really necessarily feel like I have to stay in that ballet and present as the best or whatever, you know what I mean? Like the new up and coming or the hot shot of like that ballet. Mm-hmm. Like I'm kind of like, I can't wait to see Sunmi do Giselle. Yeah. I can't wait to see Mikey do Siegfried tomorrow. Yeah. Like, I can't wait for all of the new up-and-coming things to,
Saturday.
Like,
happen. Mikey's on Saturday.
Mikey is on Saturday with the Julian Murphy.
The one, the only.
I mean, it's going to be the performance of the year. Anyway.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Also, we're going to be done. We're going to be in such a great mood.
I'm going to be drunk. We should get a drink before and go to the show.
Okay, that's great.
That'd be really fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah, I definitely relate to that. Like, my favorite thing is when I am proud of myself in the work. Uh-huh, and I'm, like, at peace with who I am and know that what I'm doing actually is rather extraordinary. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so the night sky is brighter with more stars or whatever. You know that saying? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Well, I mean, so, for instance, last year, the show, I had a really great show of Swan.
Yeah.
I did this random long balance, which, by the way, I don't think is going to end up happening again. That was a total, like, you know, one time. I didn't plan for that to happen. Yeah. It just, like, happened, and I was like, great. Okay, everybody, like, you know,
got
woohooed, and,
about it,
you know.
Yeah.
But that wasn't planned, so I'm not planning it again. Anyways.
The struggle.
I feel like because I had, you know, one good show.
Yeah.
I'm like, great. I mean, of course, there's probably a million other things that could have been better in that, you know, probably Irina was like, this could have been better. All of that could have been better. But overall, I feel like it was a good show for me. So I'm kind of like, okay, check. Mm-hmm. Got that under my belt. Now I'm ready to, like, take on other things.
Yes. I mean, that's great. I agree and I disagree. I think you are trying to let yourself off the hook by being like, great, I did one good show. But
I've always kind of been that way, though.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, for ballets that I really enjoy, like Romeo and Juliet, Don Q, those are like my ballets that I would say that are my favorite. Mm-hmm. Of course, every year I'm going to be like, I want it to be the best show I've ever had.
Yes.
I don't know. Swan has never been that for me.
Yeah.
So I'm never, of course, I'd love, there's so much, you know, as I said before, there's so much room for interpretations. Mm-hmm. So it's obviously super fun to, like, go through all of that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Swan has definitely been one of those, like,
year-by-year cases.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what okay, I gotta wrap this up in a minute. I want to hear your like a ballet you wanna do that you haven't done yet.
Well, Sylvia is coming up, and
Yeah.
I really
Get your
want to be
tickets to
that
see
Amazon.
Catherine debut in Sylvia. Ashton Sylvia, it is a powerhouse for the woman, and she's gonna be incredible. And you know, just for the
Thanks.
record, all of you out there, Catherine is one of the great American ballerinas of our generation,
Oh, thanks.
and one of the best in the world.
Oh.
So please come support her.
Hopefully my ankle will be good
Yeah,
by then
exactly. I mean, it's hard out here,
still. I
and the
know.
body changes every day.
Every
Like
day.
every day is a negotiation.
What are we gonna wake up tomorrow? What's gonna hurt?
Well, let's not talk about that. We're gonna feel amazing tomorrow. All right. I hope you all enjoy the show. I might do like a little recap after just myself to let you know how everything went. But thanks for coming back to the Stage Right
Yay.
Side, Catherine Herland. Make sure to follow her on Instagram at
Oh, C.A. Herlin, I
no,
think.
Kate
Oh,
Herland.
Kate Herlin. Yeah, that's right. That, yeah, he's right.
She doesn't know her
I
Instagram
don't know.
handle. This is the most Hurricane Herlin thing ever. All right. Love you.
Okay.
See y'all in a bit.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear FIGS because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your FIGS? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast, wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
Okay, I'm back on the Stage Right Side with Catherine Herlin. We did our performance last night of Swan Lake, and I just wanted to give you all the sort of before and after, you know, vibe. Aaron Bell, principal dancer, is in the background as well. Those of you watching on YouTube will see him. But Catherine, we did it.
We did
We did it.
it.
I also, like, we finished. Okay, we did the interview a couple days ago, and we were both feeling a certain type of way. It's called depression, pre-show depression. And we were like, was that the most boring, like depressing interview ever? And I thought to myself, yes, it was. But it was also, it's really part of what we deal with. And now that we've done the show and we both came out the other side alive and unscathed for the most part, I thought it would be good to check in.
Yeah.
So, Catherine Herlin,
We
congrats
did
on last night. Tell me how you feel
it. You as
today.
well.
Thank you.
Much better.
Yeah.
Way like, you know, the grass is greener,
Yeah,
which is
I have
nice.
like even a slight capacity for happiness today.
I woke up at 12 p.m. today.
How did you do that? Like I was still like I woke up at 7, adrenaline still popping
Really?
off. Yeah.
Well, I woke up and then I went back to sleep. And like, I don't know, I didn't check my phone like
Yeah.
what time it was when I first woke up. But
Yeah.
there was definitely like a moment I was like up. But then I forced myself to go back to sleep and I
Yeah.
slept until 12.
I'm gonna sleep in tomorrow for sure. I'll do my
Yeah.
best. I don't really sleep in very well, but you know, what are you gonna do?
Okay,
Okay, so I'm gonna start and just tell you how I felt during the
you
performance.
go first.
So ballet is really hard, classical ballet, and in this version, in Kevin McKenzie's Swan Lake, after Petipa, we have a lot in the first act for the Siegfrieds. There's a lot of like sort of quite awkward solo dancing, if I'm being completely transparent. And I had a really hard time.
It looks pretty though. I know it may
Yeah.
like seem really like awful.
Eh.
Yeah. But I actually think it still looks
Of
nice.
course, yes. It looks nice if you execute it well. I felt like I was struggling on certain things, and then other things were good. And you know, it's like this yo-yo of like nailed it, failed it, you
Yeah.
know?
I mean, that's I guess beauty about a full length ballet is that
You have 3 hours to try and redeem yourself.
exactly.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I think it is unrealistic, or at least for me personally, to expect to be perfect. And one of the hardest things about what we do is negotiating your own emotional state while remaining present in a full-length story ballet. So like, say something is weird or something happens, like in our fourth act, her elastic strap on her costume got wrapped around one of the decorative buttons on my tunic. And so, you know, obviously that takes you out of the story, but you have to problem solve in real time. So she was just sort of walking and like flapping her arms while I bent over and unfastened the button.
I hope that nobody really could tell. I don't know. Maybe.
I think it was noticeable, but what are you going to do? Sometimes wardrobe malfunctions happen and that's nothing we can do about that.
Yeah. I think it was definitely noticeable to the people that we know. They were like, what happened with that?
Yeah. Susan was like, did you forget the steps? I was like, no, her ass was attached to my shoulder. I was like, you think I forgot the steps after 13 years? So that's how I felt. As the ballet progressed, I felt more and more like immersed in it. And I just did my best to just keep like barreling through. And
I thought all the pas were great.
Yeah, me too. I felt really very comfortable. I really enjoyed those very much. And there were elements of my solo dancing that I felt really confident in. And then elements where I was like, well, I know I can do that better. Mm-hmm. And that's live performance.
Yeah.
And
I mean, same. I ran out of room during the my second act variation.
In your solo.
So it's just like boring around in this.
In place.
In place, like trying to find a spot to like do a PK arabesque at the end without being off stage.
Yeah, things like that. Like, bye, Aaron. Bye. Things like that, you actually, I mean, for context here, like the last time we did this on stage was the performance last year.
Mm-hmm. At the Met, right?
So for all of you out there, like, we don't get rehearsal on stage with sets and costumes. They give tech rehearsals to people who haven't done it before, who have done it fewer times than we have. So our first time running the ballet front to back is the performance. Mm-hmm. So naturally, like,
I actually thought I was going to throw up, actually, after second act. Like, I was sitting in my room during the intermission. Like,
nauseous.
Just absolutely nauseous. And I was like, I must be really dehydrated or something.
That's miserable.
And then Rena was like, do you want a liquid IV?
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe that'll help. Yeah.
Yeah. I preset squinchers. So our physical therapists have these squinchers. It's like a sugar water, like, electrolyte. I don't even know what's in it. Sodium sugar. Replenishment situation. It's sugar. And so I did one of those in between second and third act because I too was like gassed.
Yeah. Like really so gassed. Depleted all of a sudden.
But then once you hear that music for Black Swan, it's like the engines are red. Like, have you ever played Mario Kart?
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, like when it's like 3, 2, 1, and then you like and you blast off. That's what it feels like to start Black Swan.
Yeah.
I had a really good time doing Black Swan. I don't know about you.
I did too. We were acting our butts off.
The more I do it, the more I find ways to like squeeze in story. Because to be completely honest, the story for Swan Lake has weird plot holes and is so simple and hard. Like, your character, it is lacking an arc, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Totally.
Not the way you play it, but just on paper, when you're watching the ballet, you're like, okay, she's a bird, now she's a person. That sucks for her. And that's like the arc. But with Siegfried, there's a little bit more to do. You have these princesses who are throwing themselves at you, and you have to show to the audience that you're like, oh, I hate this. Mom, stop.
Yeah.
You know? Stop trying to set me up. I don't want any more blind dates. And so I spent a lot of the show last night like exploring what I can do to like convey to the audience that I'm so over it.
Oh, wow.
Over this life of being like a pimp.
Yeah.
Pimped out by my mom.
Wow. That's fun.
Okay. Let's do the rose, the thorn, and then what I like to call the mushroom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
the mushroom is the funniest or weirdest thing that happened on stage.
Well, the mushroom has to be the button.
Yeah.
The elastic on the button.
Sideways. Like,
and I'm just like awkwardly
trying to like un-MacGyver this button.
And I didn't really know like when you were unhooked.
I said,
like,
okay,
when you were.
I was talking to you.
I know you were. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
I was like, just walk.
I was like, yeah. I was just walking, but then I like suddenly like try to do like, I don't know, like a lift or something, but then it like you weren't ready. So then I just put my leg down and just kept on flying or something. And you're like, okay. And I was like, oh, okay.
And I just picked you up in a baby carriage, basically. You know, live theater.
And I was like, my arm was like hooked around your shoulder.
Fascinating. Okay. So that's clearly the mushroom. What was the rose for you?
The mushroom. I think the rose, maybe I held the last balance at the end of the coda.
Oh, yeah.
Or I could say the coda was a good rose. Because I was really worried that the coda wasn't going to land.
So ankle issues, she did this double menage of coupe jetés and piques and chaînés.
Instead of the 32 and, fortes.
You know, when you make a big decision like that, you're always scared that the audience is going to be like, oh, you're a cop-out, like blah, blah, blah.
And you're lazy or like, ooh, you can't do them. Try it. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, so they absolutely went nuts for it, and it made me happy on your behalf.
Yeah. So that was good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thorn would be me running out of room.
At the end of your solo?
At the end of my solo and being kind of like looking like a drunk sailor on point.
I'm sure it felt way worse than it looked, but I relate to that. Okay, Rose for me was the Black Swan Adagio. Mm-hmm. I had so much fun playing with you in that testing the limits of speed and like quietness here and there. Like, it was just really fun for me to do. Thorn for me, like my first solo, I finished my pirouette and my foot got like stuck on the way down to my knee. So I was like, maybe I'll just do fourth. And then I was like, I'm in the deepest, weirdest fourth ever.
Oh,
so
right.
I like pointed my foot and slowly lowered myself down to my knee. I was like, that was as awkward as it gets. So there were like little things like that here and there for me that are thorny. Aaron has returned with a corn muffin. That's it. I think overall, like, recovering from weird things is something that still challenges me, like, emotionally within a performance. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, something weird happened. I want to move on so bad. I have the knowledge and the experience to move on, but I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
part
of the gig, exactly.
But where I find dancers to be like the mental fortitude to just keep going. Like, you can't stop. You can't convey to the audience that something weird happened. You have to like truly fake perfection. It's a fascinating balance of like, I hate myself and I have to keep going and I am the best thing that ever was.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
The confidence is key. Yeah. It's like, it's tough. It's hard to find that when you get nervous.
And I'm confidently pretending that I'm confident.
Yeah. Just trying to like trick ourselves into being confident. Definitely.
But, I mean, it sounds like, I don't know. I don't want it to sound like I'm not happy with how we did. I'm extremely happy with how the show went. I thought it was like, very exploratory for both of us, and for the years that we've been doing it together, I felt like we really leveled up our interpretation. And you could all out there who saw the show can think differently and think we're disgusting or think we're the best, but that's how I felt in the ballet. I don't think I'm the best, but I also am proud of myself for sticking with it and finding new ways to express myself.
Like, we made it. Like we did the whole ballet.
We did the whole damn thing, and people seemed to like it.
Yeah.
The audience was wonderful. Thank you all out there for being so supportive of us. It feels really good to hear you all. So I don't really have much else to say. We don't need to, belabor this, but I just wanted to give you all like the opportunity to know that we have personalities and that our pre-show depression is contagious.
I was like, my hair was in a bun. I was all sweaty and my hair was like greasy and like this. And now I'm like, hair is washed. I had a face mask on this morning. I slept till 12 p.m. Feeling like a new person.
I mean, that being said, I did rehearse Giselle today. I ran the Act Two Pas de Deux. Did you have rehearsal today?
I didn't have anything today.
Yeah, like me, like dusting off the crust on my body from last night's performance to run Giselle Act Two. I was like,
you did an entire run?
No. We did the beginning scene and then the adagio. Like, I didn't do my variation because I physically cannot today.
No, yeah, I could not either.
But still, it was something that I did. Okay.
Good for you.
I'll see you all very soon. Tonight, Gillian Murphy is performing Yay. With Michael de la Nuez, who's making his debut as Prince Siegfried. Big merit to them. Any of y'all out in the audience, you're in for a real treat. This episode will come out after they debut, but whatever. I will see you all next time on the Stage Right Side. Thank you so much, Catherine Herlin, for being here. Follow her at Kate Herlin on Instagram. I said that already, but I'll say it again. See y'all.
Bye.
Make sure to follow me at James B. Whiteside on Instagram and TikTok. That's James B. Whiteside. And don't forget to click the link in my bio to purchase tickets for upcoming performances or to buy my book, Center Center, a funny, sexy, sad, almost memoir of a boy in ballet. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Dr. Z and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear Figs. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your Figs? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room listening to this podcast, wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com. Code FIGSRX.